This is Africa News Tonight on the Voice of America.
Hello and welcome. Welcome to VOA Africa. Thank you for joining us. I'm Yeheyes Wuhib in Washington. Here's what's coming up on Africa News Tonight.
There'd be dire financial consequences if we were to lose this. A loss of this trade relationship would mean billions of rands of economic activity, as well as tens of thousands of jobs which depend on those exports would be lost.
That was Busiswe Mavuso, CEO of Business Leadership South Africa, on the potential for cuts on South African exports to the U.S. due to Pretoria's ties to Russia. Details coming up. Also, Nigerian President Bola Tinubu has been named to lead ECOWAS, and Iranian President Ibrahim Raisi will kick off his Africa tour tomorrow. These stories and more on Africa News Tonight. We start with our top story. Iranian President Ibrahim Raisi will kick off his Africa tour tomorrow, a day later than expected. The visit to Kenya, Uganda, Zimbabwe marks the latest effort by the Islamic Republic to forge new alliances. Raisi will head a delegation that includes the foreign minister and business leaders. Joseph Siegel, director of research at Africa Center for Strategic Studies, discussed Iranian diplomacy in Africa with VOA senior analyst Mohammed Al-Shinawi.
Well, it's certainly worth taking note of. Obviously, the Iranians are making a significant commitment of the time and availability of their leadership in these three African countries. I think, you know, first off, it's an attempt to try to avoid isolation and to demonstrate that Iran continues to be active and welcome on the global stage. I think we'll have to look at the details of what it ultimately entails and just what substance is behind the symbolism of Iran's outreach. There's a long history of Iran competing with Gulf actors in Africa for support and influence. And, you know, these are certainly things we'll want to keep an eye on, and whether, you know, this signals a renewed rivalry and how that would play out. Certainly, Iran has had a history of competition with Saudi Arabia in Sudan, in particular, a country that's been experiencing conflict the last several months. And so I think, you know, there's a mixed history there in terms of Iran's past engagements in Africa that we'll want to keep in mind as we look at this trip.
Iran has stepped up its diplomacy in recent months to reduce its isolation and offset crippling sanctions reimposed since the United States' withdrawal from a nuclear deal in 2018. Would that require more U.S. attention to what Iran is trying to do in Africa after China's and Russia's efforts to expand their influence in the continent?
I think the real question is, what does it mean for Africa, and what is Iran bringing to Africa? You know, what are the mutual interests that are there? How much would Iran be investing? You know, or would instead, is the main intent not to invest, but to use Africa as a stage to advance Iran's geostrategic interest, which would in fact be detrimental to African interests? And so I think the real question is to examine what's there, just what is the substance of the engagement, and whether this is going to be benefiting Africa economically.
That was Joseph Siegel, Director of Research at Africa Center for Strategic Studies, speaking with VOA senior analyst Mohammed Al-Shinawi. Sudan's foreign ministry has rejected a regional summit's proposal to consider deploying peacekeeping forces to protect civilians, saying foreign troops would be considered enemy forces. The summit was held by East African regional body IGAD and attended by heads of states as well as representatives of several other countries and bodies after mediation efforts failed. The army boycotted the IGAD mediation efforts, accusing Kenya, which headed the talks, of providing a haven to the paramilitary rapid support forces that have been fighting Sudan's military for nearly 3 months. Egypt, widely seen as closer to the army than to the RSF, will host another summit later this week. South African businesses groups are pushing the government to make strong diplomatic efforts to ensure the country is not stripped of its duty-free access to the U.S. market. A group of U.S. senators recently questioned South Africa's status under the African Growth and Opportunity Act, citing Pretoria's ties with Moscow. South Africa has invited Russian President Vladimir Putin to an August summit despite his invasion of Ukraine and his being wanted by the International Criminal Court. Kate Bartlett reports from Johannesburg.
Relations between Pretoria and Washington have so deteriorated in recent months that South African business groups are now scrambling to try and make sure the country isn't kicked out of an important U.S. tariff-free program. The war in Ukraine has divided the two countries after South Africa refused to condemn Russia's invasion, even going so far as hosting Russian warships for joint military exercises earlier this year. In May, the U.S. ambassador to South Africa alleged the country had secretly supplied arms to Moscow, something Pretoria denies. It is unclear whether Russian President Vladimir Putin will be attending the summit of the BRICS Group of Emerging Economies in Johannesburg in August. His visit would place South Africa in a quandary. As a signatory to the International Criminal Court, it is obliged to arrest him should he set foot in the country. The U.S. Congress is beginning to review the renewal of the African Growth and Opportunity Act, known as AGOA, with a decision expected by the end of the year. Some U.S. senators recently wrote a letter saying South Africa should no longer host an AGOA forum set for later this year. They also raised the prospect that the country could lose access to its trade benefits entirely. Busiswe Mavuso, CEO of Business Leadership South Africa, an independent association of some of South Africa's largest businesses, said she was preparing a submission urging the U.S. to renew South Africa's participation in AGOA.
There'd be dire financial consequences if we were to lose this. A loss of this trade relationship would mean billions of rands of economic activity as well as tens of thousands of jobs which depend on those exports would be lost. It would be devastating for employment, especially in a country where we are currently sitting with 70% youth unemployment.
Mavuso said South Africa is the largest single beneficiary country under AGOA, with 25% of the country's exports going to the U.S. and nearly $1 billion worth of exports to the U.S. in the first 3 months of this year alone. Wendile Selobo, chief economist of the Agricultural Business Chamber of South Africa, said being removed from AGOA would have far-reaching implications, not just on the tariff side, but in terms of investor sentiment.
But the AGOA benefits, there's certain industries that really enjoy those, and in the absence of them, there could be economic consequences, particularly in the automobile industry, and of course, the agricultural sector, specifically wine, as well as the fruit sector.
South Africa's opposition Democratic Alliance, which has expressed strong support of Ukraine, is also worried the country could lose access to AGOA, says the party's shadow finance minister, Dion George.
If the view is that South Africa is in fact not acting in the interests of the United States and may well be a threat to the national security of the U.S., then yes, of course, that will become an issue and may very well be a factor in carving South Africa out of AGOA.
Spokespersons for the presidency and South Africa's Ministry of International Relations did not reply to requests for comment. However, they have previously said there's no evidence South Africa is going to lose access to AGOA after President Cyril Ramaphosa recently sent a delegation to lobby U.S. officials. Kate Bartlett for VOA News, Johannesburg.
Cameroon's Anglophone rebels have torched truckloads of cocoa that were bound for French-speaking towns as farmers are protesting a ban of safer, more profitable exports to Nigeria. Cocoa farmers have blocked hundreds of tons of the beans from leaving their farms and are staging daily street action demanding they be allowed to sell their crops to Nigeria. Cameroon's farmers say they cannot get nearly double the price they can get. Nearly double the price for cocoa in Nigeria, where they do not face threats from separatists. Moki Edwin Kinzeka reports from Yaoundé, Cameroon.
Cocoa farmers in Cameroon's English-speaking southwest region say they are becoming poorer after the government cracked down on cocoa and other cash crop smuggling by banning exports to neighboring Nigeria. 27-year-old Juan Mary Beke is one of the cocoa farmers protesting the move this month in Mamfe, a town on Cameroon's border with Nigeria. The farmers say they have blocked several hundred tons of cocoa in their farms and warehouses and will only release it when Cameroon lifts the ban. Speaking via a messaging app, she says they can earn about $2 per kilogram selling to Nigeria, nearly double compared to Cameroon, where Anglophone rebels threaten their shipments.
We should be able to decide where to sell our cocoa. The government of Cameroon has been unable to protect farmers from separatists who have prohibited the sale of cocoa in French-speaking regions. Should farmers and their families die of hunger when there is a ready Nigerian market for their cocoa?
Beke says the rebels this month torched several trucks transporting cocoa from Cameroon's southwest region to the coastal business hub of Douala. Farmers told VOA the rebels torched at least 6 truckloads of cocoa in the past 10 days. Cameroon government and military officials confirmed that rebels torched trucks hauling cocoa, but would not say how many were destroyed. Cocoa farmers have been holding daily street protests aimed at the export ban in southwestern villages and towns and say they will continue until the government lifts the ban. Cameroon on June 13 announced a temporary ban on cocoa, cotton, and other cash crops exports to Nigeria to save the country from losing $165 million each year to smuggling. The government says it dispatched several hundred police and customs officers to the border to stop illegal cocoa exports. Robert Ashu Tabechong is the mayor of Mamfe. He says farmers are still able to sell cocoa to smugglers for export through the porous border to Nigeria.
We cannot collect revenues. Without collecting revenues, we cannot develop our municipality. We have support from the forces of law and order to enable us to combat the middlemen and secessionists transporting cocoa to Nigeria, because Nigeria lately, they have many factories that are transforming cocoa into chocolate and other things.
Tabechong says Cameroon should either lift the cocoa ban or at least allow farmers to sell some of the beans to Nigeria. Cocoa farming is one of the main sources of livelihood in southwestern Cameroon. The Ministry of Trade says the region contributes about 60% of the 300,000 tons of cocoa grown in Cameroon each year. Vian Mekala is the most senior government official in Manu, the administrative unit where Mamfe is located. He spoke to VOA while addressing protesting cocoa farmers Tuesday in Mamfe.
When the RT receive our report, they know what to say. The answer to give to the population.
Cameroon's government says illegal cocoa exports to Nigeria spiked after Anglophone separatists launched a rebellion in 2017 to break away from the French-speaking majority. The rebels declared their own ban on the sale of cocoa to French-speaking towns. Cameroon authorities say the military will protect farmers who sell their cocoa to the French-speaking regions. But Cameroon's cocoa farmers cite this month's attacks on cocoa trucks and say they are not convinced. Moki Edwin Kinzeka for VOA News, Yaoundé, Cameroon.
You're listening to Africa News Tonight on the Voice of America. Nigerian President Bola Tinubu has been named to lead the Economic Community of West African States, ECOWAS. Tinubu said he would focus on fighting growing insecurity and terrorism in West Africa and promoting democracy among member states after a series of military coups. Timothy Obiezu reports from Abuja, Nigeria.
The ECOWAS Heads of State meeting held in Guinea-Bissau was Bola Tinubu's first engagement with counterparts in the region since he became Nigeria's president in May. West African leaders chose Tinubu as the regional bloc's chair for the next year, taking over from Guinea-Bissau's Umaro Sissoko Embalo. Senator Iribu, the founder of security magazine The Global Sentinel, says Tinubu's selection was not a surprise.
It's a good move because of the stature and role of Nigeria in the sub-region. By financial commitment, Nigeria provide almost or more than 60% of the financial burden of ECOWAS. So it will help to strengthen the stand of the organization and the sub-region. And Nigeria has played a significant role in keeping the peace in the region and stability.
However, Iribu says Tinubu's appointment as ECOWAS chief may be poorly timed, as the new president's political opponents in Nigeria are still challenging his election victory in court.
People have expected, they should wait for the conclusion of electoral petition tribunal election. Yes, by law, the president has been sworn in, but the legitimacy or the victory is still being challenged. These are kind of things that give room to instability because of disaffection. We know what happened in Guinea.
The Guinean military overthrew President Alpha Conde in September 2021, a year after opponents rejected his re-election. Mali and Burkina Faso have also seen military coups in the last 3 years. In his remarks Sunday, Tinubu pledged to prioritize democratic stability, saying, quote, "We will not accept coup after coup in West Africa again," end quote. Tinubu said the threat to peace and security in the region has reached an alarming level and called for joint regional counterterrorism measures. In Nigeria, 36 villagers were killed by gunmen Sunday in the north-central Benue and Plateau states. Tinubu also called for more private sector participation in order to unlock West Africa's economic potential. But economist at the Center for Social Justice, Eze Onyebere, says Nigeria needs to overhaul its own economy to benefit from the ECOWAS Pact.
Nigeria has a strategic position in the region, but whatever you do in terms of political or economic or social diplomacy is a product of your home front, your economy, your politics. So if the Nigerian economy is properly repositioned to become more productive, the ECOWAS market is ours for the taking. I mean, nobody should compete with us. But as of today, with all the challenges we have and the potential ones that are upcoming, it's going to be very difficult for Nigeria to take advantage of all these opportunities.
Tinubu said Nigeria will host an ECOWAS summit on trade and investment in October as part of his vision for regional economic recovery. Timothy Obiezu for VOA News, Abuja, Nigeria.
Today is World Population Day, which aims to raise awareness about global population issues and their impact on society. The theme this year is Unleashing the Power of Gender Equality. This theme highlights the crucial role of gender equality in achieving sustainable development and empowering women and girls to contribute to their full potential. Ambassador Dr. Margaret Duerke is the founder and executive director of Watiti Academy, formerly known as Women in Power to Achieve the Impossible. She starts by telling me about uplifting the voices of women and girls.
Equality, or gender equality from a woman's perspective, is something that has been a fight of my entire life, and I'm still fighting it, because anywhere in the world that success really, really impacts is because a woman has been uplifted. Anywhere, even in corporate America today, even though men are still fighting it, and I don't think it needs to be a fight, it needs to be something we do in tandem, in collaboration, because there is power in collaboration and unity. I don't think men need to fight women or women fight men. If that equality means if I am a woman and you are a man and we're hired for exact same position in a company. I'm doing my dandiest best, even though I may have to go home and breastfeed my kid or go cook and clean. That doesn't make me inferior to you just because I'm a woman. I think it's a rotten mindset that the sooner we begin to get rid of it, the better off our societies will be as a whole.
And also, Doctor, the World Population Day has played a crucial role in raising awareness, advocating for reproductive rights and encouraging policies and programs that support sustainable development and the well-being of all individuals. So talk to us a little bit about the need to address gender equality and world population, aiming to recognize the transformative power of empowering females.
You see, the thing about this is that my brother, what do you call it? Women are one of the more creative, hardworking. We can multitask and things of that nature. When it comes to someone telling, just think about it. Sometimes it really irks me when men want to tell a woman what they should do with their organs, what they should do with their female reproductive, or even just total women health care. It doesn't even, when you even think about it, how does that even make sense? That something you don't know anything about, you want to tell a woman. And not because I am against abortion or because I am for abortion. It is not that. It's about what is right for a human being. I think it's about human dignity. Because for me, that woman dignity is that human dignity. And the right for me to choose if I want to take Tylenol at the end of the day because I have a headache, or I choose not to because I'm a naturalist and I don't want to do that. I don't think it should be up to even another woman should not tell another woman what to do with her body. How much more for a man to tell another woman just because you're in power? I think that as this global thing is happening everywhere in the world, if the power that be, unfortunately, I would tell that most of the decision-making people in this world are still men. And as much as the population shows that more women or girls or girls are being given birth to in the world, I don't know what it would take, but it would take a calling together and rallying around. And I'm calling all my sisters, meaning women around the world, to not give up. Don't be rude to the men in your life, but stand up for what is right. For me, at the end of the day, it's not even how long you lived, but how many people's lives are better because we lived. So in that regard, I think that every woman should stand up. Don't think that somebody else is going to do it. If we don't fight, if you go down in the annals of history, no right has ever been gotten without a fight.
Today is World Population Day 2023. The theme for World Population Day 2023 is Unleashing the Power of Gender Equality. Thank you, Dr. Margaret Dureke, for uplifting the voices of women and girls to unlock our world's infinite possibilities.
Thank you so much. It's my pleasure. And I know that the work of women is yet to come. We are awakening every day and rallying around to make sure that this world is going to be a better place because women are here. And together with the men in our lives, we will make it a better world. I am very hopeful and confident it would happen in time. Thank you so much for the opportunity.
Ambassador Dr. Margaret Dureke, founder and executive director of Watati Academy, formerly known as Women in Power to Achieve the Impossible. She talked to me from the U.S. state of Maryland. VOA's English to Africa service celebrates its 60th anniversary on August 4th. Help us celebrate by sharing your thoughts on our programs. Send a voice message or a text to this WhatsApp number, +1202-258-3076. Tell us what your favorite program is, or let us know about a report we did that mattered to you. Recall a favorite memory about VOA Africa, or tell us what stories you think we should cover or how we can improve. That number again is +1202-258-3076. Tell us your name and where you live, and you might hear your comments on our shows. And thanks for 60 years of support. And with that, we wrap up this edition of Africa News Tonight. I'm Yeheyes Wuhib in Washington. For all the latest developments on the continent 24/7, visit our website at voaafrica.com. On behalf of our producer, Mokibilia Baro, and our engineer, Kila Williams, thanks for choosing the Voice of America.